discuss some matters relating to Parshas Miketz and Chanukah. I want to present to you a few ideas about the parasha, but I need to give you a little background. I want to tell you an idea that relates to Chanukah that will serve as background to two of the ideas I would like to present. We know, everyone knows the story of Chanukah. We celebrate the wars, Giborim biat chaloshim, Rabim biat ma'atim, Utzmeim biat aharim, Mishim biat tzadikim, Vizedim biat uzchim sarasecha. But we also celebrate the miracle of the Pach Shemen. In fact, that is the one of the ikarim of the Chag, to light the menorah, make three brachas the first night, two brachas on the following nights. What does the Gemara say? Gemara, I don't remember the exact words, but when the Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash, Badku v'loy matzu, they were looking for oil. V'loy matzu, they couldn't find any oil. Ela pach echad shoyamunach b'choy samoy shel kohen gadol. And according to one girsa, v'lo hayabo lahalik afilu yom echad. There are different versions in the Gemara, but according to one version, in this pach shemen that was munach b'choy samoy shel kohen gadol, there was not enough to light for even one day. And that answers the question of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef's famous question is, why do we celebrate Chanukah for 8 days? The first day there was no miracle. Well, according to this particular girsa, there was not even enough oil to light for one day. So the miracle was that it lasted even the first day, and certainly for the next 7 days. So therefore we celebrate Chanukah for 8 days. Now the question is, first of all, why wasn't there enough oil? If this girsa is correct, if there is some degree of truth to this girsa, why wasn't there enough oil for one day? If this was in a container that was sealed by the Kohen Gadol, so there should have been enough oil to light. It was sealed, it was chosam. Obviously, the purpose of this container was for the shaman of the menorah, so there should have been enough. There should have been enough oil, at least for one day. Very, very basic question. Why not? If it's sealed, it's complete. It's complete. It means there's a precise measure that would be normally set aside for a purpose. The next question is, why did the Kohen Gadol have to seal the shemen for the menorah? We don't find this anywhere, and this requirement. We mentioned in the week that V'atot tzaveh espere Yisrael v'yichu elecha shemen zayisach. We do find a remez in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was considered a Kohen Gadol. It's a Gemara Masech Tzvachim, and oil was presented to Moshe. Okay, there is a remez, but we don't find in Chazal, in Mishnayis, in the Gemara, a requirement for the Kohen Gadol to inspect the shemen that will be used for the menorah and affix his seal. What is going on? Third question. Why is there an inyan of Mahadrin? Why did Chazal require, or did they invent this concept of Mahadrin, Mahadrin mina Mahadrin, in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? What is going on? So there's one answer which answers all three questions. And that is, the Kohen, the oil that was found, was the oil that was set aside by the Kohen Gadol for his Minchas Chavitin. We know in the Torah, there's a halacha that the Kohen Gadol, every single day, has a requirement to offer a Karban Mincha. The Mincha comes from an Asiris Soefa, and it is broken up into 12 loaves of bread, and it is mingled with exactly 3 lugim of oil. 3 lugim, whatever that measurement is. And these 12 loaves of bread that are mingled with 3 lugim of oil are divided into 2 parts, 6 and 6. The first 6 are offered in the morning, and the other 6 are offered in the afternoon. This is called the Minchas Chavitin. This is a halacha of the Kohen Gadol. He is required to bring this meal offering every single day. It's prepared whole in the morning. It's all ready to go, but he only offers in the morning 6 loaves of bread mingled with half of 3 lugim of oil. And the other half is set aside for later on. Now, Chazal tell us, how much oil was required for the menorah? So we have this Gemara. The Gemara says that each ner was a chatzi log. a half of a law. We do not need to know the exact numbers, the exact measurements in our times, how many ounces that is, but a chatzi law. Now, if there are seven neros, what is the total sum, volume of oil that is required for the menorah? 3.5. If each ner contains a chatzi log, so a half times multiplied by 7 is 3.5. The minchas chavitim, the Torah is very clear, it's explicit, requires 3 lugim of oil. So 3 lugim of oil is a chatzi log less than what is needed for the menorah. The Kohen Gadol wood is required to prepare the minchas chavitim from his own private funds. This is not supplied by the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol does not have a requirement to use Shemen Zayis Zoch. Shemen Zayis Zoch is what we call virgin oil. It's the first oil that comes out of the olive. That requirement is only true for the menorah. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that a Kohen Gadol, when he brings his Minchas Chavitim, is required to bring Zoch, Shemen Zayis Zoch. It is sufficient for him to use regular oil. The second flow of oil that comes from the olives, not virgin oil, but regular olive oil, not the virgin olive oil. That's the case. Now everything is answered. The Kohen Gadol had a supply of oil, private supply of oil that was set aside for his Minchas Chavitin. He would prepare it. Each jar was exactly what he needed for each particular, for each day. And each day requires exactly 3 lugim of oil. It only requires regular oil. But the Kohen Gadol was mahader. He felt that being that this is his service, I want to go above and beyond what is required of me. I'm not just going to use regular oil. I will be mahader and use Shemen Zayis Zoch. So he prepared Shemen Zayis Zoch. He took exactly 3 lugim of oil, put it in a container. He put a seal to indicate this is mine. No stealing. No one take my oil. I need this oil for... Don't use it for the menorah, exactly. Don't use it for the menorah. Don't use this for private menachos. It's mine. It's mine because I have a requirement to bring a minchas chavitim every single day, 3 lugim. I am going to bring the best. Not just ordinary shemen zayisach. Comes the 25th day of Kislev, the Chashmonaim overcome, prevail upon the Yevanim. They enter the Beis HaMikdash, but kevloi matzu. The only oil they found was a private stash of oil of the Kohen Gadol that was set aside for his Minchas Chavitin. So right away the Kohanim says it's no good because the Kohen Gadol's oil for the Minchas Chavitin, number one, it's not Shemen Zayizoch. Number two, it's not enough. He only prepares 3 lugim of oil for the Minchas Chavitin, but we need for the menorah 3.5, so it's not kosher oil. So they said, listen, first of all, guess what? The Kohen Gadol was mahader. He went above and beyond what the Torah required of him. He wanted to bring something special. Shemin, so that's good. No, it's not enough. No, let's do the best that we can. We'll do Enochanami V'lo Yehoyaboy Lahalik Asilu Yoimechad. It's only 3 lugim. We need 3.5, so we won't fill it up to the top. A little bit less. Oh, so everything is answered. We understand the gears of Lo Hoyubo Afilu. We understand what it means. Kohen Gadol. What's the Kohen Gadol? Mandekar Shemei. What's he doing here, the Kohen Gadol? We understand why the Kohen Gadol over here is part of the equation. And we understand why there is the need of Mahadrin. The only reason why they even had a Hava meaning to use the Shemen Zayis of the Kohen Gadol was because the Kohen Gadol was Mahader and used Shemen Zayis Zoch and not regular Shemen Zayis. This is a popular one. I don't remember who says this. I believe I saw this in Sefer called, it's a liquid Mirsky. Higyoine Torah. He has a few volumes, 3 or 4 volumes. What's his first name? Right, Mr. Rav Cook, what's his first name? Rav Mirsky. Very, very popular Sefer. This is in the first volume. Okay, he subsequently published 2 more volumes plus a Haggadah, Higyoine Halacha. I believe he quotes this from a This is a popular vart. this part has been around. It's seen the day of light. It's a beautiful mahalak to explain what Chanukah is about. I need this as an introduction to what I'm about to tell you now. Now. Okay, this beautiful Vart, the Vart is complete in and of itself. If only you remember, if this, I'll be gratified if this is the only thing that we remember from today. Yeah.
How did they fill it?
They don't fill to the top. They didn't fill it to the top. If you learn, we don't know what happened exactly, but assume you have three logim, you really need 3.5, so you don't fill it to the top. It's the same. Okay. Now let's go to this parash. Now let me tell you a vart I saw from Rav Moshe Wolfson. Rav Moshe Wolfson has a beautiful idea. I don't know if this is his own idea, or I believe he's quoting this from another source. In Sefer Munas Yitecha, he develops this. He quotes this idea often in his svarim. It's a beautiful idea. Parashas Nitz. Beautiful, beautiful idea. We have here the brothers. The brothers go down to Egypt. They meet Yosef. Yosef is playing games with them. He puts their money back in their satchels, and he puts the goblin, the yamin, and he accused them originally. You're spies. You're meraglim. What are you doing here? I don't believe you. You're coming to discover the ervas haaretz. Okay. So Yosef says, you know what? One of you is going to stay with me. Shimon is not going anywhere. Everyone else, go back home to your father. Shimon, you're mine. You're with me. They all go back home to their father. The father, what did you do to me? What's going on over here? Shimon is not here. And Yosef demands that Binyamin come down. I'm not giving you Binyamin. What did you do? Why did you tell him? What's your business to tell him you have another brother? What's going on? Okay, so nothing happens. What happens? They run out of food. Okay, gotta be quiet. They run out of food. So then Yaakov, go back, get more food. We're not going nowhere. Unless you give us Binyamin, we are not going anywhere. So after give and take, finally Yaakov says, okay, go. Go, I'll give you Binyamin, and I'll be mispalel for you, but you have to bring a gift. When you're going to go to Yosef, the Mishnah Lamelech, you have to bring a gift. Imkain efo zos asu. If you're going to go, I'll tell you the pasuk. Let me find the pasuk. The pasuk is Yudal Perik Memgil pasuk Yudal V'yem Aleim Yisrael Aviyem Imkain. We have no choice. Efo zos then. If so, then zos asu. Kichu take mizimras haaretz. What does this word mean? Mizimras haaretz bichlechem. Take from the zimras. Let me read the whole pasuk first. V'horidu le'ish mincha, and then he goes on to specify what is the zimras haaretz. Na'at tzuri u'ma'at devash nechos velot botnim u'shekedim. Okay, different types of exotic spices and fruits that are only found in Eretz Yisrael. But he doesn't say shevasminim, but it says here mizimras. So let's look in Rashi. This unusual word, Rashi pasuk gedalef. Mizimras miturgam. So Rashi right away, I defer to the Targum. Very rare. Rashi doesn't always do that. Rashi likes to disagree with the Targum. But here Rashi defers to the Targum, miturgam, mid mishbach, the praise, the shevach, the praise, the best of Eretz Yisrael. Ba'aro shakol. Why is the word mizimras a term that refers to the best? Shakol mizamrim alof. You ever hear the choir today? The mizamrim choir. They're more famous than Obama. The mizamrim choir. They sang at the Siyum HaShas. Now every time there's a gathering in Flatbush, whether it's a Lakewood gathering, whether it's a Tarvadas gathering, who's going to sing the Zmiros? The mizamrim choir. Ah. So what does it mean, mizamrim? It means to sing. Right? Pshuta kemashmo. The mizamrim, shakol mizamrim alav. Everyone is singing kishahu bol. When this comes into the world, people, they sing songs. Beautiful, wonderful. Shkedim, almonds, delicious. Nachos, tzri, velot, whatever these things are. Botanim, whatever these things are. When a person sees these things, he's filled with such joy, he breaks out in song. He breaks out in zemer. So that's why the word zemer is a borrowed term. It's a borrowed expression to refer to the best that Eretz Yisrael has to offer. We're going to package this up and you're going to present this to the Mishnah LeMelech. Maybe he'll go easy on you. He'll go easy, he'll let Shimon return, he'll give you food, you'll come back and Shalom Al Yisrael. Literally. Okay, so that's what it says here. Rav Wolfson, he quotes a source, it's a drush, but he says this over and over. You know what the gift was? Besides the fact that, of course, the gift was tsirim, dvash, nechos, velot, batim, ushkedim, present him with a nigun from Eretz Yisrael, a melody. Oops. Perform. How do you, what kind of gift, every culture, every land, you know, you go to India, they have a certain type of music. America has its type of music, right? Rock and roll. Every country has a certain flavor. We all know that. Anyone that listens to, you know, there's a certain country music, and there's this music, and there's that music. Every country has a certain, you can tell an Israeli song, you can tell. You can tell, what?
Asian music.
Okay, exactly. Every nation has a certain flavor, captures a certain spirit of the land. Eretz Yisrael is the best. The music, the melodies that are composed in Eretz Yisrael, there's nothing like that. Present him with a melody, a zemer from Eretz Yisrael. That's the ultimate gift. K'chu lechem mizimras ha'aretz. Half flavor fella. Good? It's good to come today for this. Wolfson? Okay. Now we have to go further, and I don't remember where I saw this part of the Vart. But we have a minhag Yisrael that on Shabbos we sing Zemiros. We sing Zemiros, right?
Yeah.
Right? Pashat. Who doesn't sing Zemiros? Or you say Zemiros. Zog Litvak. Zog Zemiros. Zog Zemiros. You say. The Litvaks can't sing, so you say the sneers. You say the sneers. Okay, very good. I'm not going to tell you all the jokes. Okay. Okay, but what does it say? It says, for they come, this is a beautiful pasuk. Further on, they finally come to Yosef. The Torah makes anything which the Torah says. Not just stam, just to fill up space, to make the aliyah longer. There's very great depth. When they finally come down to Yosef, the Torah makes a point in telling us, "Vayochinu es hamincha." They prepared the gift. Let me find the pasuk. Pasuk is. It's important. The exact words of the pasuk. Pasuk chaf hey, they come into his home. Vayochinu es hamincha ad bo Yosef bat zohoroyim. Until he will come in the evening, in the late afternoon, kishamu kisham yochlu lochem. And when he came, they presented the gift. Now, I do not know if this is a medrash. I looked for it this morning. I spent time during davening. Shouldn't do it during davening, but during davening, I was searching for this. I thought it was a Kli Yakar or an Orach Chaim, but it's not. But somewhere it says that the meal, this lavish meal they had, where he saw Ben Yamin. And all the midrashim where he positioned them around the table according to their age,
right.
And Yosef and Binyamin was given 5 more portions than the other ones, and so on and so forth. It took place on Shabbos, and they drank wine. They made kiddush. There are a lot of beautiful midrashim, but it says somewhere. I do not know where you'll find it from the midrash somewhere. This meal took place on Shabbos, and that means vayachinu es hamincha. They presented the mincha. This is the makar for Shabbos Zemiros. Vayachinu the minchas mizimras ha'aretz, the song of the land. It was presented by the suda of all the brothers. The shiftei ka are all sitting together for the first time. There's peace among them. Now they don't know who's Yosef. They're all there, all 12 of them, half leva fella. They're all sitting around the Shabbos table. They're drinking wine for the first time. They're making kiddush. And they present the Zimras Haaretz Zemiro Shabbos. Beautiful idea. Okay, fine, okay. So this is, now what do we want to bring out at this point? This is called the mincha. What is the mincha? Yaakov Avinu tells his children, "Kenefo zosasu." This is what you shall do. Kichulachem mizimer asar. It doesn't call it a mincha. Take a zemer, a song. Mizimer asaretz. And then when it's presented, it's called Vayochinu es hamincha. What is a mincha? A mincha means a gift. It means a gift, right? We have a mincha. A meal offering is also called a mincha. You're giving Hashem a gift. Mincha, you give a gift. What is the mincha? What is the gift? Zemer. What do we learn from this? Everything the Torah says is very precise. The ultimate gift you can give a person is a zemer. Why is that so? Because a zemer is part of your neshama. You give someone an iPod, an iPad, a computer, you give them a toy, a Hanukkah gel. Okay, you give them something, you give a person a davar gashmi, you buy a person a sefer. It's a davar gashmi. It's a gashmi. The sefer is also a davar gashmi. You have to learn the sefer. When you give a person a melody that you composed in honor of this event, you're giving them part of your neshama. We all know how difficult it is to in order to compose a nigun, in order to be filled with hana, with joy, with chiba, to the degree where you can compose melodies, requires a person to uplift his neshama to a very, very high spiritual state. This doesn't just happen, you compose melodies. I know one of the big Bali Machadish, he composes melodies in the Beis Medrash. He has a tape recorder, and he sits and learns, and this is what he does on purpose, because he wants it to come from a holy source, and he works. He has talent, obviously. You know, you just can't do this. You can't try this at home. You have to already have the talent to compose melodies. And when does he wants to compose it when he's learning, so that the melody shall come from a holy source. So as he has a geschmack in learning a shtickel gemara, something, he has a hergish, a feeling comes to him. Little few notes, a few stanzas, few notes, he right away takes tape recording and he sings that nigun because he wants it to come from a holy source. Here, Yaakov Avinu was telling them, "Kechulcha mizimer asaretz," compose something unique in honor of the occasion from the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. That is the ultimate gift you can give a person because it comes from your neshama. Comes from your neshama. And this is why it's called a mincha. You give a gift, you can give a davar gashmi, and you can give a davar ruchni, and the ultimate davar ruchni is a melody that comes out of you, overflows from your neshama. That's what they gave you. Okay, so look at that. So that's what we extract here from this pasuk. Let's now go to Chanukah. What is Chanukah all about? Chanukah, the end of the Al HaNisim is, V'kavu shmones v'chanukah elu, lehodos u'lehala. The whole essence of Chanukah is Hallel, Shevach v'hoidah, to give praise. Shevach v'hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, we send Hallel, we send Chanukah, Hallel Shalem, all 8 days. We discussed yesterday. Correspond to the 8 days of the eight biblical days of the year where we were denied saying Hallel Shalem. 6 days of last 6 days of Pesach and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we discussed yesterday. The whole essence of Chanukah is to say Hallel. What else do we know about Chanukah? Chanukah is also the menorah. The menorah. Now, where did the Shemen come from? It came from the ultimate gift, the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, every day, every single day, offers a mincha. A mincha. And what's the mincha? The mincha's chavitin. What is the deeper, when you, if the Torah tells the Kohen Gadol, bring a mincha. Okay, so you have the flour, and you have the oil, but it represents something. It's just not just, oh, you just throw it on the Mizbeach. There's an avodah of bringing a mincha. And if we have now learned and have established here in Parshas Miketz that the essence of a mincha is kichu lochem mizimra sa'aretz, it's a song. It's an expression, it's a melody that comes out of your neshama. And the Kohen is told every single day, offer a mincha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The avoda of the Kohen Gadol is to offer his neshama, to offer a melody of his neshama, okay, in the form of a mincha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it represents the idea that he shall give shevach v'hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. And being that he is the Kohen Gadol, he is the top of the top, the top of the hierarchy, that is the ultimate gift. So every Kohen can offer a mincha. Every Yisrael can offer a mincha. But the mincha of the Kohen Gadol obviously represents the mincha. It's the Kohen Gadol after all. And the fact that it's offered every single day, twice a day, also tells us something, the significance of this mincha. And if we know that a mincha is, in the Torah's definition, a zemer, a song, that tells us that when the Kohen Gadol brings the mincha, he has to uplift himself in song, in shevach v'hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was precisely from that shemen, from that mincha, that the miracle of Chanukah came about. Because the miracle of Chanukah is not just a miracle that the oil lasted 7 days. The whole essence of Chanukah is the last words. What are the last words of the Al HaNisim? V'kavu shmoinas yimei Chanukah elu lehoidois ulehalel leshimcha hagadol. And where did the shemen come from for the menorah? From the Minchas Kohen Gadol. And what is the Minchas Kohen Gadol? The ultimate Mincha. What is the ultimate Mincha? Mizimra Soaretz. Halal V'hoida. Shevach V'hoida. So all of these ideas, they all come, they all merge, they all blend together in this week's Parsha. Parsha Smiketz Kimat. Is it always Shabbos Chanukah?
Yeah.
When is it not Shabbos Chanukah?
Yeah.
It's very rare. What?
When Chanukah starts on a Friday.
Then it's not, then you don't have it, so that's the only time. But generally, speaking, you have Haftarah for Parshas Miketz. But Ruba de Ruba, 99% of the time, Kimat, Shabbos, Chanukah, Parshas Miketz. There's significance. They're Ramazan. And I think the Remez is the Zivras Saaretz. That's the lesson of Parshas Miketz to learn for Halakha. That's one idea I wanted to share. I told you that we need this idea for this Hagdama for another idea. So let me just give that's a shorter idea. Let's just run by that very quickly. That this week's Parsha, all the Mepharshim, they dwell on this. They beat this with a stick. They don't let up on this idea that Yosef, part of the dream, when Yosef interprets the dream for Paro, he interprets the dream of the fat cows and the lean cows. And at the end of his interpretation, he says, you have to prepare for the future. V'ata yere paro ish novon v'chocham v'shiseyu al eretz Mitzrayim. Right, you have to make preparations. And all the Farshim, they ask, what business does Yosef have advising Paro? Yosef was called in to interpret a dream. He wasn't called in to be an advisor. So they discussed this with many answers. And Achanami, some said that was all part of the dream. Part of the dream, if you look very carefully, part of the dream, you have to understand what the dream, how to interpret the dream. Part of the interpretation was the advice that Paro shall prepare for the future. Yere Paro ishal Mitzrayim, and he shall store up all of the surplus in the years of plenty in preparation for the years of famine which are going to come. And Paro says, but this is a very important point. Yosef teaches Paro something which was a chiddush in these times. And in fact, I read a sefer that they've done studies of ancient history of different empires and different civilizations. Did they store surplus for the future, for a rainy day? This concept we have in America, you know, you have to put away. You got to put away money for a rainy day. Is this a modern concept? How did people deal with this concept in ancient times, in ancient civilizations? Do we have a record that societies in ancient times would take surplus and put it away for the future, what will be in the future? Or do people live day by day? They don't think about the future. And some want to say that we have no record anywhere in all of the ancient civilizations such a concept of storing for a rainy day, which is something which is so simple. Why not? I do not know. But here the Torah emphasizes this idea. emphasizes this over and over, that this was a chiddush to Paro. You have to do this. You have to put away the surplus for the years of famine which are yet to come. And Paro agreed, and the Chazal even go elaborate. They tell us that Yosef had a special preservative. If you store grain in a warehouse, it rots. You have to treat the grain with a preservative to make sure that it will last for a significant period of time, which he didn't. Chazal tells exactly what it was, that he added, that he mixed with the grain, whatever it was. Now, this is the lesson of Parshas Mikets. That is the major theme. There are the dreams. There are the dreams. And Paro, Yosef interprets the dreams, and he tells Paro, this is what you have to do. And based upon the surplus that Mitzrayim gained during those years, everything follows. The whole world comes down to Egypt to purchase during the years of famine, including the brothers of Yosef, and so on and so forth. The foundation of this parsha and everything that comes from here on in is the concept, put away for a rainy day. That is the yesod. All the Mefarshim will bring out this point in many different ways. And as we mentioned, Parshas Mikates is almost always Shabbos Chanukah. What is the connection? So based upon this idea that I have told you, we have a very powerful connection. Because the Minchas Chavitin also captures this idea. The Kohen Gadol is required every single day to bring a Mincha. How is the Mincha prepared? The Mincha has 12 loaves of bread, 3 lugim of oil. The entire Mincha is prepared in the morning. And then 6 loaves of bread are offered immediately, and the other 6 are put away for later. You're not allowed, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to take the Asiris Oif and divide into 2 parts. And I'll prepare 6 in the morning, and I'll use 1.5 lugim of oil in the morning, and the other half of the flour will keep fresh. Why should I offer in the afternoon bread that's already here, that's already 6 hours stale? It's already getting old. Let me prepare. We have a cook here. You'll tell us they have to prepare. It has to be perfectly fresh. Why do you have to make two separate preparations? It's usur. It has to be prepared in one shot in the morning. And there is an inyan that you leave over. You leave over for later. That is the minchas, that's the essence of the minchas chavitin, that is the essence of this parsha. This parsha here is to put away for later. And this really, in essence, captures the essence of what the miracle of Chanukah is all about. Chazal tell us in many different forms that the Bayis Sheni was never meant to be the Bayis Shlishi. We learned in the Sefer Daniel. We know that it was only meant to last for 420 years. In the very beginning, Hashem, before it was built, Hashem says, tells Daniel, there's a number called 490, which means 490 years from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni will be destroyed. It's not going to be around forever. So what's the purpose? The purpose was, it's going to be a tkufa where you're going to gain inspiration that will be able, you'll be able to put away the inspiration, the lessons, the teachings that you will observe during this period of time, will be able to carry you through a long galus of 2,000 years until we'll come to the ultimate times of Yemos HaMashiach. And what was the moment during the Tkuv of the Bayis Sheni which gave us that inspiration to carry us through galus? What Chazal say is Soif Kol HaNisim, the end of all miracles, Chanukah. Chanukah is the time when Klal Yisrael recharged their batteries. Put away in storage in the years of Soiva for the long galus of 2,000 years, which are the Yimei Harav. The galus of 2,000 years are Yimei Harav. We have nothing. We're in galus. There's no Beis Hamikdash. Eretz Yisrael is touch and go. We have a lot of difficulties. Where do we get the inspiration? The inspiration comes from the Soif Kol Hanisim, the miracle of Chanukah, that even when the Goyim try to cause us to assimilate, that's really what it's all about. We shouldn't just blend into the world at large. When the Yevanim attempted to cause the Jewish people to assimilate, and they succeeded to some degree with the Misyavnim, but Klal Yisrael was able to retain their unique identity. They prevailed. They prevailed for the Korach HaTorah to remain unique and not to blend in, not to just get to assimilate with the rest of the society. It all comes from Chanukah, comes from the Bayis Sheni. It's the putting away of the Yimei, during the Yimei HaSoiva, in preparation for the Yimei Horov. That's the essence of Parshas Miketz. That's the essence of the Minchas Chavitin, which is where the miracle of the Ner Chanukah came from. And that is, in truth, the essence of what Chanukah is all about. The miracle of Chanukah, look at the words of Chazal. From the words of the Mosur, Uminoisar Hakankanin Nasa Nesla Shashanim. It's not just, it's the leftovers. There's another aspect, another dimension of bringing out the same idea. When the miracle of Chanukah wasn't the miracle, we were able to produce the oil rapid speed. The miracle was there was something left over. There was something that was put away in storage during Yimei HaSoiva, during the glorious time when the Beis HaMikdash was not under the control of the Yevanim. There was all that was put away in storage, and it was left over for a later period of time. Uminoisar kankanim nasenei slash hashan. Same exact theme of the parsha, put away during Yimei HaSoiva for the Yimei HaRov. Minchas Chavitim, put it away for later. Uminoisar kankanim. Chanukah is a tkufa where we took Kedusha and we put it away for the golos that will come, the long golos of 2,000 years, the Yimei HaRov. Now, just to elaborate upon that, one more point, which I think is very interesting, is soon coming Zeus Chanukah. We discussed this a little bit yesterday. The last day of Chanukah, the Minhag Yisrael is to call the eighth day of Chanukah Zeus Chanukah. So we discussed yesterday the simplest reason why it's called Zeus Chanukah is because we lain on the eighth day of Chanukah five Nesiim. The laning is Menashe. Every single day we lain one of the Nesiim, and then we come to the eighth day we have Menashe, but there are 12 Nesiim. So what do you do with the other Nesiim? So we read them all very quickly, and then we conclude Zois Chanukas HaMizbeach, right? We conclude with the word Zos what?
I say that's a summary.
The summary Zos. So there, because the lady concludes Zos, we call it Zos Chanukah. There's a Minhag Yisrael, we always discuss Minhagim. That's a very fascinating minhag, which some do, some don't do. By Hasidim, they're more into this in different places. But on Zos Chanukah, in the morning, in the Beis HaKnesses, they make a bonfire. You think you only make a bonfire on Lag BaOmer? No, that's a modern minhag. That's a new minhag.
Inside?
What? The real minhag to make a bonfire or to make a fire is on Zos Chanukah, to take all the leftover oils brought down, I think, in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's brought down in the Ramah, right? What? You don't throw it out. So what do you do with it? You take the leftover oil and wicks and you make a fire. Now, all the poiskim, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, this minhag, to take the leftover. What's going on? Okay, so there is sudden. Now, the poiskim are very disturbed with this minhag, because when Sukkot is over, what do you do with an estruk? Not necessarily, so some throw it away. Oh, you save it for what? Beer chametz. Beer chametz. Kevon de'ave ba mitzvah achas, le'evile mitzvah achrita. Tzitzis, when they wear out. Now, we don't do this, but what the ancient time people used to take their tzitzis when they wear out, and these are a bookmark in a sefer. Kevon de'ave ba mitzvah achas, le'evile ba mitzvah achrita. You always have this concept when something wears out, you can no longer use for one mitzvah, use for another mitzvah. So that would be the case. I'm sure we can find uses for the leftover wicks and oil. You can use it for Ner Shabbos. We can use it to burn the chametz. We can take the leftover oil and wicks of Chanukah. I'm sure if we'll try hard enough, we can figure out another use to the mekayim kevin to oved bar mitzvah achas le'oved bar mitzvah achrita. No. We're not leaving nothing over. We're going to destroy all the evidence. Chanukah is over. It's Zos Chanukah. Destroy the evidence. Destroy the wicks and oils. It's a very strong question. Why do we do this? So there are answers. I'll give you some of the answers. It's a zeicher for the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Shem is Kodesh. Kodesh is also Behana. Tzitzis and the lulav of our mitzvahs, Chevtzei mitzvah. Chevtzei mitzvah is not Osir Behana, so you can use it for another mitzvah. But in the Beis HaMikdash, Shemen for the menorah, Shemen is Kodesh. Kodesh, also Behana. You can't apply that principle, you have to destroy. That's one answer. Another answer, even though it's not really Kodesh, just that the Zecher for the Mikdash, there was Kodesh. Or The whole purpose of the oil was to burn it. When the mitzvah is to use the lulav, I finish using it. So now we have something else. But when the mitzvah is to destroy it, the mitzvah is to burn the oil, and now you have leftover oil, you can't go use it for something else. You have to... The mitzvah was that it should be consumed. When the mitzvah is that something should be consumed, you can't leave it over. Okay. But I saw another answer. Another very beautiful answer. It's very deep. I don't fully understand it, but the concept is there and it relates to what we just said. What was the miracle? The miracle, the whole essence of Chanukah is Uminoisar Kanim Naseh Yislash Hashan. Essence of Parsha Smika is to take and put away. You have tkuf in life that's powerfully put away. Fire represents this. There are many different types of fire, but fire in one form represents the Shekhinah. It represents holy things. Moshe Rabbeinu first saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the burning bush. The bush was not consumed. The Shekhinah appears. It represents Ruchnis. It represents the Shekhinah. Chanukah is over. The whole miracle of Chanukah only came about because of Uminoisar Kankan. The whole miracle of Chanukah was only Chanukah. The only miracle was we took something from the past. We took something from the past, we were able to preserve it, and that's what gave us, and in turn, Chanukah was a tkufa in Jewish history, which we were able to recharge our batteries and put away for the future. When Chanukah is over, we again have this opportunity. When the 8 days of Chanukah are over, we have leftover oil, leftover wicks. We want the leftover, what we want to take away from Chanukah, it should be a source of a new inspiration, a new tkufa of spirituality that we can use in the future. Therefore, we take the leftovers of the leftovers. Chanukah itself is only Uminoisar Kankan. Chanukah itself, there's a tkufa in history which we knew we used that tkufa to put away for later. We reenact that on the 8th day of Chanukah. On the 8th day of Chanukah, there are leftovers. There's leftover oil, leftover wicks. We take that leftovers and we make a big deal out of it. We don't just throw it away in the garbage. We don't just, we'll use it for another mitzvah. No! The leftovers of Chanukah is the essence of what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah only is a miracle because of leftovers. The spirituality that we gain in Chanukah is something that we put away for the future to be a leftover, to be a, for the future like Parshas Miketz. We bring out that point by taking the leftovers of Chanukah itself, the leftover oil and the leftover wick from these 8 days, and we make a big deal with it. What can we do with it? We make a fire, or a fire which represents a concept of Ruchnius. We show it's leftovers, because this is in essence what Chanukah is all about. It's a very beautiful minhag. It's done in some places where they make a big deal with children on the day of Chanukah. They take all leftover oil in the Beis HaKnesses by the Satnachay. They do it. See, they do this in Satnachay. I remember I told you that they throw towels at the Shliach Tzibur. I told you about they throw towels the Shliach Tzibur. We spoke about this. They throw towels in Beis HaKnesses the Shliach Tzibur. They throw towels at the Shliach Tzibur when he lights. So I have a cousin. He told me, and we were talking to him. He says to him, we're talking about lighting candles. But he told me that in his shul they do this. He's a real Hasidic fellow. These minhagim are real minhagim. They really. It's not just in the books. These minhagim are really still done ad hayom hazeh. But that's a very interesting approach to explain this. Okay, I want to tell you one more very quick bar. Zos Chanukah. What do we do on Zos Chanukah? Why is Zos Chanukah called Zos Chanukah? It's an entirely different idea. Because what happens on Zos Chanukah, the last day of Chanukah, we read the Kriyas HaTorah is Menashe. Menashe appears in this week's Parsha. One of the other reasons why Parsha Smikets always falls out of the Remes is the birth of Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe. Why was he called Menashe? Ki Nashani Elokim Eskol Amoli. I forgot my past. And maybe we'll discuss it in a moment. I've got my past. I was able to build a new family and develop and be successful here in Egypt. If I would have focused only on the past, I would have been depressed. I would not have been able to go forward. But because I was able to put aside the past, I'm able to go forward. Therefore, that's why I'm successful. He called his son Menashe. That's one of many reasons why, to explain what it means, the Pasukim Shani Elokim is based off it. But the birth of Menashe appears here in Parshas Miketz. What do we do on Zos Chanukah? What is the Nasi for Zos Chanukah? Menashe. Right? Every single day we go to the Kriyas HaTorah for all the 8 days of Chanukah. The first day of Chanukah is long laning. Right? We start in the first day of Chanukah with Yehuda, and we go through all of the Nesim, and we come to the 8th day of Chanukah, we're up to Menashe. And being that we're up to Menashe, we can't remember Shin Aleph. Okay, you got it? Shin Aleph? Yeah. We come to Menashe, and then we have to finish up, so we go from Menashe to the very, very end. But the fact that the 8th day, the Kriyas HaTorah Menashe, tells us that Menashe relates to the 8th day of Chanukah. What do we know about Menashe? When Yaakov Avinu was about to die, he called Yosef and said, "Please bring me your two children, I want to give them a bracha." And Yosef put the right hand on the head of Menashe, and the left hand on the hand of Ephraim. And what did Yaakov do? No. Loichein b'ni. Sichel l'siyadov. He switched, he put the left hand on Menashe, and the right hand on Ephraim. So Menashe got which hand of Yaakov Avinu? The left hand. Where do we put the Chanukah menorah? Make her hadin. The Pesach Beis HaMibachutz. On which side of the Pesach? On the left side. The mezuzah is on the right side. The menorah is on the left side. On the left side. What? The left side. Why the left side? So Mepharshim explain. Because the bias, the mezuzah, protects one what you bring into the bias. If you study the miracle of Chanukah very carefully, what was the danger? What was the danger of Chanukah? The danger was there was too much influence from outside.
Assimilation.
The Yevanim had enormous influence over the Jewish people. They were pushing through the Misyavnim, they were pushing influences into the home. They were pushing in foreign ideas, concepts, which were Kineged Torah into the Jewish home. The reason why the menorah is put on the left side is the left is the right of the exit. The mezuzah is the right. When you walk in, call Pinashat upon Eloi Yehelim. When you come into the house, the right, the ikar is the right. So when you walk in the house, the right. When you come into the house, the mezuzah is on the right. When you leave the house and you're going out into the street, what's on the right side? The Chanukah menorah. You have to protect yourself when you leave the house. The menorah is the mezuzah when you go out. The mezuzah is what protects you when you go in. But you also need to protect yourself when you go out, not to be influenced, not to be affected by things outside that are keneged the Torah. And that's why the menorah is on the left side. It's to keep away, it's the left. The left is something you have, left, Menashe is identified with the left. Menashe was the recipient of Yaakov Avinu's left hand. What is the left hand? The left hand, because what was Menashe? Ephraim sat and learnt, and Menashe was involved in worldly affairs. Yosef was both. Yosef the Koyachav was able to synthesize both equally, Torah and being involved in the entire world. He gave over these two traits to his two children. To Ephraim, emphasized Limud HaTorah. And to Menashe, there was an emphasis on being a leader out in the world. But they were not on the Madrega of Yosef, where they were able to have the highest, to synthesize both of them together to the same degree that Yosef was able to do so. Menashe represents the koyach of being out in the world and not being affected. And not being affected by the environment of the world. And that's why Yosef receive, Menashe received the left hand of Yaakov Avinu, whereas Ephraim received the right, because Ephraim is in the Beis Medrash. He's inside. Menashe is outside. And when you're going outside, the left is the right of the outside. That's why it's Zos Chanukah. Because Zos Chanukah is, this is the essence of Chanukah, the eighth day of Chanukah. The eighth day of Chanukah is Menashe. The Nasi of the eighth day of Chanukah is Menashe. Menashe is the one who received the bracha of the left hand of Yaakov. The bracha of the left hand of Yaakov is the koyach, to prevent yourself from being influenced by things which are foreign to the Torah. That's what Chanukah is about. The biggest proof is, where is Chanukah? Chanukah is on the left side. Zos Chanukah, this is the Esel Chayim. There's a famous tefillah from the Chazon Ish. I mentioned this to you before. The Chazon Ish, you think if you give a bracha to a child, a mother should be mespalah for her child. So what would the mother say? Oh, he should be a Talmud Chacham or a Shemayim. He should have Siyat Shmaya and be Mechadish Torah and have Ruach HaKodesh. That's, he composed a tefillah, the Chazon Ish. It doesn't say any of that. The whole tefillah is that Hashem should take away the distractions. Just Hashem, there should be Hashkocha Pratis. You should not be presented in an environment where there are so many distractions. And if a child doesn't have so many distractions, Nimeilu, he'll be good. He'll be a Talmud Chacham. That's really what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah is get rid of the distractions. Forget about the good. That's another story. But half the battle, or 90% of the battle, is to get rid of the distractions. In the middle, you'll be able to do what you're supposed to be doing. Zos Chanukah. Okay, have a good Chodesh, a good Shabbos, and a Freilich Chanukah.